So, hey, everybody. How's it going? Since there's spaces now because the junior high all moved out, do you guys want to kind of come a little bit closer and pack in a little bit? I mean, if you want. You don't have to. So, how did everybody like Freshwin this year? It was good? What were some highlights? Just shout them out.
Worship?
Prayer? Cool. Yeah, definitely for me, worship was one of them. Like, the Freshwin band are pretty consistently good, if I do say so myself. And that's one of those things, like, I don't know, you don't really get that during the year, you know? You can't get, like, that live music and the pumping bass. And it was pretty pumping. Where's Mike Cole? It was fist pumping good. So, how many of you guys feel different after Freshwind? How do you feel like God did something in your heart? Who wants to feel like that all year long? Okay, that's good. What I'm talking about tonight is how we can keep what you got at Freshwind, keep that alive in your heart all year long, because what I really believe is that God wants you to feel that way to a greater degree than you do at Freshwind all the rest of the year. So like 365 days of the year minus the three of Freshwind, he wants you to be feeling that even in a greater degree. So I'm just going to be talking about, like, you know, how oftentimes when we go to conferences, like, it's this high, we get up there, you know, and we deal with our junk kind of in the first day, and then the rest of the 2 days we're all, like, you know, high as a kite in the Holy Spirit. And it's good, you know, after it's about a week or something, but then you go back to school and you're hanging out with your old friends, and before you know it, it's kind of like back to routine. And that kind of sucks especially when you've like gone to a conference and had such an amazing time with God, right? I know for me, I used to go to a lot of youth conferences. I was in youth group since I was about 13 or 12. And it would be that same thing. It'd be like the plateau and then all of a sudden the drop at the end. So what I want to talk about is like how we can, some like practical strategies for how we can keep alive what God wants, you know, what God gave to us. So how many people know off the top of their head the verse that was our focus verse for Freshwind? Very good. Oh no! I'm just gonna hold this. Oh, that one's better. Alrighty. Oh yeah, that one's mine too. All right. So that verse was 1 John 5, verses 1 to 5. And I just want to read that out to you. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves the child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So this verse is pretty packed. Who is born of God?
Everyone who believes in Jesus.
Exactly. How do we know that we love God? Gold star. Okay, so that's, it lays it out pretty easy there for us. So, like, we know that we're born of God if we believe in Jesus. How many people believe in Jesus? Right? Okay. How many people follow Jesus' commands? Trying our best, right? Sometimes it's not always easy, but what the word tells us is that it's not burdensome. So it's not something, a burden, when I think about a burden, I was trying to think about it. A burden that you carry is something that sucks the life out of you, right? So think about carrying a burden that's just like, it's really making you feel terrible, you're kind of getting like, you're losing energy, you're just feeling really, really low because of it. But what the word tells us is that God's obeying God's commands, that's not a burden for us, you know? That's something that's life-giving. Like, it's still going to be a challenge because sometimes it's like contrary to our, you know, contrary to our sinful nature. But the nature of the Spirit is that it's, you know, it's not going to be a burden. It's going to give us life. And so that's, you know, that's how we know we love God. Thank you. So in the verse that I just read, that was everyone who born of God overcomes the world. But the one that we actually had for the conference was conquers the world. I think it was just a different translation. Does anyone know? Yeah. So what I wanted to talk about was some conquerors in the Bible. What do you guys think about when you hear conquerors? David? Attila the Hun? That's true. Nehemiah? Xena the warrior princess. And Hercules. Yeah. John Wayne. Oh, yeah. Jesus. Spider-Man, yeah. Okay, those are all really, really good examples. The one I wanted to talk about was Daniel. Daniel, all the examples most of you guys said, they're all really kind of almost aggressive conquerors. You know, David, like, he went out, he fought a bunch of wars, and he won. And Xena, the warrior princess, she killed, like, goblins and stuff, and, you know. But the interesting thing about Daniel is that he was kind of a bit of a passive-aggressive conqueror. Okay? Do you guys know the story of Daniel? I'll tell you. So the Israelites, you know, they're in the desert doing their thing, and then they get captured by Babylon, and they go into exile to Babylon. And what this meant is that they were all slaves. The entire nation was slaves. Okay? And so they didn't really have that much wiggle room, you know? Like, Daniel was a slave, and he didn't have much choice with how what he did with his spare time. Like, he didn't get spare time. He was a slave. But there was something very, the Lord was working in his life, and God had a very specific plan for him. And he was able to be a conqueror because he said that, you know, he was born of God. So everyone who believes in Jesus, he believed in God at the time because Jesus hadn't yet been born. But he was born of God because he believed in God. And he loved God because he obeyed his commands. And this is how he was a conqueror. He was selected to be one of these guys who hung around in the king's court. And, you know, they taught them a bunch of stuff. They, you know, got them doing sports and stuff. And, like, just to paraphrase the Bible. But these guys are, like, you know, apparently the best dudes in the kingdom. But because they were in the king's palace, they were surrounded with all this kind of immorality, all this, like, ungodly stuff that was going on. Because at the time, you know, in a pagan, like, kingdom, they would have all sorts of stuff going on in the palace, like, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, just without the rock and roll. But Daniel, because he loved God and because he was born of God, he decided that he was gonna obey God's commands and was really gonna, like, seek the Lord. And so I just want to read. It's a little bit of, it's a little long. It's not that long. I'll just read it. So Daniel's in the court. The king brings out all this food and stuff, and he's like, "Okay, you're gonna live the lifestyle of a Babylonian." And Daniel, starting at verse 8, says, "But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he had asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel, but the official told Daniel, 'I'm afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned you your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would have my head because of you.'" So just stop for a second. Daniel, it's kind of like there's barbecue and there's all this good stuff. And Daniel's like, "I want to eat vegetables and water." Because food signified being associated with, like, the king's court. Verse 11. "Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servant for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare us to our appearance to those of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance to what you see. So long story short, they do this for the set amount of days. And at the end of that time, the guys who are eating the vegetables and water are a lot stronger and they're buff and tough, where the other guys who were eating the meat and the wine and stuff, they're just kind of like lazy and a little chubby, and like they can't run as fast. And it's because Daniel was like, you know, there was a spiritual thing in there where Daniel was following God's plans for him. And then just skipping down to the bottom part. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them in, the chief of officials presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the kingdom's, entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in the whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. So what we see here is, like, these guys were born of God. They believed that God was the one and true only God. And then they decided that they loved God and they obeyed his commands. And through that, God, there was an outcome, you know? God had favor on them. And they had knowledge. They had, like, they had fame and probably fortune, too, living in the palace like that and being, like, 10 times... wiser than magicians and enchanters and stuff like that. Like, they really stood out. And that's kind of what we, when we're obedient to God, and when we're pursuing being like a conqueror's lifestyle, God blesses that. And God, like, sees that, you know, God sees in our heart that we're seeking him, and he blesses that. So when we look at the story of Daniel, there's kind of like a game plan for keeping this conqueror's lifestyle, like, you know, living that way and keeping. I'm going to tie it back into Fresh Wind in a moment, but living that kind of lifestyle where we can be in God's presence and keep what we got at Fresh Wind. So Daniel knew something about Fresh Wind before it even happened. When I broke it down, it's kind of nerdy, but there's like three ways, like, or three different things that I learned from Daniel. It's like about keeping the conqueror lifestyle. It's input, output, and outcome. So for when you're, I don't know, like, we were talking about favorite things about Fresh Wind. Like, worship was one of them, right? When, for me, like, because I love music, like, I love going out to shows. I started going out to shows when I was, like, 13 years old, and that's all I did in high school. I just went to shows every weekend. And because something I really liked about it was, like, the really loud music, and, like, it's like you feel the music rather than you just hear it in your, you know, with your iBuds or whatever. And so, you know, that might be a highlight for you from Fresh Wind, was the music. And, you know, it pumps you up, it gets you excited, but then during the week, you know, Fresh Wind's over, you're listening to worship music, it's not the same, you don't feel like you're connecting with God as much, and then all the other stuff is trying to pull you away. That's one of those things, like we can... God wants to connect with you still in spite of, like, the situation being different. You know, like, we're listening to music every single day at Fresh Wind, and I don't know about you, like, when I'm at Fresh Wind, I just listen to Christian music, but then afterwards, you know, sometimes you go back home, you're just listening to secular music, and it feels like all of a sudden everything's a lot harder. You're like, God, why am I having such a hard time connecting with you during prayer time and stuff like that? That's one of those things. Like, if you're listening, what you're putting into you is gonna be affecting your time with God. So the music may not be loud like it is at Fresh Wind, and it may not be, you know, shaking your whole house. But if you're choosing to, like, listen to worship music and connect with God and listen to stuff that, you know, builds you up rather than tears you down. So that's one of the ways that we can really keep fostering what God did in our hearts. James, the book of James.
says, 4 verse 8 says, come near to God and he will come near to you. So it's one sentence right there, but it's a pretty powerful promise that he has for us. So fresh wind's over. You're feeling like, okay, there's nobody to hold my hand and lead me through this. But God has a promise for you right in James 4 verse 8. It says, come near to God and he will come near to you. Do you guys understand like the significance of that? Like that's a promise right there that you can hold up your Bible to God in prayer time when you're just by yourself in your room with God and say, God, it says here, if I draw near to you, you're going to draw near to me. And he's faithful in that. God wants to meet you the same way that he met you at Fresh Wind, like alone in your bedroom. He wants to meet you when you're with your friends. And this is a promise right here. You can call God on that one and he will be faithful to meet you. So another thing about input is like movies. We talked about music already, but movies and music are a huge one. Like, what if you're putting in like stuff that's kind of pulling you away from God? That's gonna affect you. Don't think it won't. Like I find every time after Fresh Wind, I'm really a lot more like acutely aware of just how I'm affected by the media. You know, like I can be watching an action movie or an action like show or something like that before Fresh Wind, and I'm just like, oh yeah, it's fine. But then afterwards, I watch it, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is bad. So be aware of that kind of stuff. I'm not talking about like move out into the woods and don't ever watch TV again because you might get, you know, affected by it. Don't worry about that. But just be attuned to what you're watching. Be really intentional with your time with God, okay? You know, Fresh Wind, that's, I don't know how many hours it is. It's like 8 hours a day, 8 or 9 hours a day that you're spending with people, you're talking about God, you're praying, you're worshiping, you're listening to a message. You know, you feel so high after that, you're like, you wonder why. Well, you just spent 8 hours with God. So if you go back to during the week and you're spending 5 minutes with God, maybe 3 times a week, and you're like, oh, why am I feeling so low? Well, I think it explains it, right? I know, like, we're all busy. I'm really busy. But I think, like, when you're pursuing time with God during the week, like, if you feel like you can only do 10 minutes a day with God, like, I'm challenging you, push it to, like, 15, push it to 20 minutes, and spend some time worshiping, just like you would at Fresh Wind. You know, if you have the Fresh Wind band CD, or if you have some other CDs, you, like, put those on, like, you know, just worship in your room for a bit, and then, you know, download a message off the internet or something like that. I know TACF, we have all our messages archived. Another really good one is Bethel Church in Reading. Do you guys know that church? They have their podcasts, and I listen to them all the time. I listen to, like, Chris Valentin's messages and Bill Johnson's messages. That's my imitation of their voices. But they have all their messages up there, and this summer I was working at Black's Photography, and there was a really just dark atmosphere there. Like, everybody who came in, they'd always be upset with you because they were always in a rush, and it was like really tough for me to stay in the vine, you know, just stay close to Jesus through that time. So what I'd do is, like, during lunch break, I'd walk over to McDonald's and I'd put Bill Johnson in, and I'd be, you know, eating my cheeseburger, and he'd be like, the kingdom of God is coming, and I'd be like, oh my gosh, this is great. But I'd go back to work, you know, and I'd feel like excited, and I'd be thinking about God for the rest of the day, which is, you know, it's like 15 minutes with my iPod. But it's where you can get the time in, you know? And reading your Bible is another one, right? We're reading the Bible the whole time we're at Fresh Wind, and if you can read a chapter a day, 2 chapters a day, but just, you know, you fan the flame with that stuff. You're hearing it all during the week when you're at Fresh Wind. So then I mentioned output as well. When you start putting that kind of stuff in, you're going to start seeing like a lot of good fruit and a lot of stuff coming out. Like, you know, you'll be probably
you won't be as short, you know, like short-tempered or something like that. Like if friends who are like bugging you or something, you're going to be more likely to love them like Jesus. Or say, you know, you're at school, someone's telling a joke, it's kind of like a bad joke, you shouldn't be laughing at it. You know, where before you might have, now because you've been putting a whole bunch of like Holy Spirit stuff in you, you're gonna be seeing it for more what it is. And I think I know for me, I find like when I take the time with God, when I'm keeping fanning what I've got with God, everything changes with my output. You know, everything, the way I live my life, it all changes. And then the third one I said was outcome. In back in the story of Daniel, you know, in verse 20 it said, in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than the magicians and enchanters in the whole kingdom. Right? God had favor on Daniel because he set himself apart and he said, I want to fan this flame that is in my heart. And he said, I want to be obedient to God. I want to be a conqueror. Jesus likes that. You know, he likes seeing that in us. It wasn't easy for Daniel to do that. He was like, he was in a country, he was exiled. Everything was working against him, but he said, I'm going to do the best with what I got, and I'm going to be obedient as much as I possibly can. And God had favor on him because of that. God's going to have favor on all of you guys. He does have favor on you. And like when you seek him more, you're going to see him speak to you and like get closer to you and like do a lot of stuff that like, you know, miracles in your life. You're going to see a lot of that. So I want to tell you a story about me when I was 17 years old. I went to this conference, this youth conference called Phenomena. I was in Australia at the time, and I just got there. I'd been there for about 2 months, and there was this youth conference called Phenomena that I went to, and it was huge for me. It like just completely changed me. It rattled me up inside. I was beforehand, like I still loved Jesus, and I was still like, I still prayed and read my Bible and stuff, but mostly on the inside, it was all just like, I was just like kind of lukewarm, and I was like, whatever. You know, like I said, I went out to shows most of the time. I cared mostly about that. but yeah, this conference really shook me up. And I remember worshiping one night, and I was like, God, I don't want to lose this. I don't want to go back to my week and like, you know, just be same old, same old. I don't want to be lukewarm about stuff. I was like, I really, really just want to hold on to this. And when I was worshiping, God was like, I want you to be baptized. And I was like, oh, great. Because I was like, you know, I'm going to have to stand up in front of everybody and talk. And I'm going to have to, like, my mom and dad are going to be watching. And I was like, oh, great, this is going to be awkward. But I was like, yeah, God, I'll be obedient and I'll do that. And I was baptized. And the funny thing is that actually at that conference, God spoke to a couple of my friends and my sisters. And, like, we all got baptized together, which was amazing. But what I was doing with that was, like, I think God wanted me to take a step forward to say, I want to hold on to what I got here. And when I was baptized, it was crazy. It actually opened up, it like unleashed all this like more passion for God, more than I'd had at the conference, because I wanted to keep that flame alive. And because I was seeking, a couple weeks later, I was walking in a Christian bookstore they have over there called Kurong. And I walked by this the CD section, and there's this Keith Green like double album. Do you guys know who Keith Green is? Keith Green, just in case you guys don't know, he's like this really curly haired guy with a big Christian hippie. Yeah, he was in the 70s. He died, I think, early 80s. But he had like big hairy chest and big curly hair and a big beard and wore like flowery open tops and stuff. But he was a very, very like anointed, passionate worship leader at the time. And, you know, in this time where there was like all this like, you know, we always hear about the hippies and stuff in the 70s and people taking acid and stuff. Keith Green was getting filled with the Spirit and meeting all these hippies and like writing worship songs and like having these massive meetings where people were getting saved, and like hippies who were like, you know, on drugs and stuff, they were starting to meet with the Holy Spirit and come clean off that stuff. And it was
you know, so here I was walking through the Christian bookstore, and there was a CD, and I had heard about Keith Green before, and his music, like, it sounds really 70s. It sounds kind of nerdy if you listen to it now compared to what we have nowadays. But I felt like God stirred in my heart when I walked by. He's like, I want you to buy that CD. I was like, okay. So I bought it, and I started listening to it. You know, back at that time, everything I listened to was, like, hardcore. Like, I was, like, listening to, you know, Norma Jean and The Chariot and stuff. And then I was listening to, like, Keith Green. And it was a big, it was, like, very different for me. But I started listening to that, and what happened was, like, I couldn't stop listening to it. I listened to the CD all the way to the end, and then I'd start it over again. And they're all just, like, praise songs and worship songs. And he has, like, some songs that are kind of stories and stuff as well, but they're always, like, God's always at the center. And it started, like, it just kept feeding this hunger in my heart for God, and I kept, like, worshiping more. And there was on the CD, there was, like, this book, this story about him and his life. And so I started reading it and, like, reading about the miracles that took place. And, like, and so, you know, I was listening to really godly stuff. I was reading about godly characters and about how God was moving in people's lives. And it was really building me up. Now, like, I guess 2 months after that conference, we moved, my whole family moved in. We got to a new city, and I started hanging out with some guys who were pretty cool. They were, you know, they were pretty cool dudes, but they were all about, like, going to clubs and smoking and drinking and, like, and just partying and stuff. They didn't, you know, they were kind of, they believed in God. They were just kind of really lukewarm about it. And so I got into that. I came from, like, this high with God, and then we got over to this new city, and it was, like, a challenge for me, but because I was feeding my spirit with godly stuff, and I was really seeking God, it's almost like it didn't faze me. I got in the car with these guys one night. They're like, oh, we're all going to this club. We're all, you know, we're going to do this. It's going to be great. And none of it appealed to me. Before, I would have. That's the thing. And before, I know I would have been like, oh, yeah, let's go. Let's do it. But because I'd been like, I wanted to keep what I got, you know, at the conference. And I'd fed it. I'd spent time with God every day. I'd been listening to my music and, like, worshiping and reading about godly characters and stuff. It didn't appeal to me because I was just so passionate and hungry for God. And so a couple, you know, a little while after that, I was like, okay, these guys aren't on the same page with, like, with seeking God that I want to be with people who are seeking God. So I met up with some people who also had the hunger, and we started a Bible group. We started worshiping and praying for each other, and we started doing that, like, twice a week, because we just wanted to feed each other and build each other up. You know, it's something that in the New Testament, you know, the New Testament church, like, all the disciples, or all the apostles after Jesus had gone back up to heaven, they had a very communal kind of style, and they would get together, they would eat, they would share belongings, you know, like, they built each other up because it was trying times, you know. The whole culture was encouraging them to sin and to get far away from God, but the way they stayed strong in those times were of temptation and stuff was by being with each other. So that's another one of those steps, is like, if you want to keep what you got at Fresh Wind, you know, surround yourself with other people who really, really are seeking after God and are hungry for that kind of thing. So that's kind of like, that's my story there. But I feel like God wants to invite you guys to hang out with him this week. And he wants to invite you to go further than Fresh Wind and higher than Fresh Wind. I feel like there's going to be some real intimacy with him if you choose to go further, if you choose to pursue that. So if you guys, I don't know, is Paul around? Oh, can you start? Yeah, can you play some stuff for me? If you guys want to take that step, and if you want to say, like, you know, Fresh Wind was great, but I want more, and I want to expect more, and I want to meet with God, and I want it to be like Fresh Wind except better, like, for the rest of the year, if you guys just want to stand up, and your cell leaders can start, you know, we'll start praying, and because it's going to be amazing.
Like, honestly, you think fresh wind's amazing? It's even more amazing when you meet with God and there are no lights and there's no smoke or no band and there's no, like, you know, headliner speakers, because it's just you and Jesus. Like, the guy who created the universe is the headliner speaker, and he's doing a one-time or a special conference in your bedroom with you, you know? So I'm just going to lead us in prayer. Lord God, thank you so much for what you did at Fresh Wind this year. Father, we thank you so much that you move in power when we seek you. Thank you that you love to be with us. Father, I pray right now for all these young people standing up, Lord God. I pray that you would meet them during the week, that you would meet them right now, God, that you would stir up the passion in their hearts that you placed there during Fresh Wind, Lord. I pray that this wouldn't be about a conference thing for them, but it would be about a lifestyle thing for them, God, a lifestyle of a conqueror, people who overcome the world. God's equipped you guys with that, you know that? To be overcome the world. You don't need to live in defeat or live like below your potential. Like God's built you for greatness. He's built you for intimacy with him, and he's going to pour that out on you. So Father God, I just pray that for all these ones who want to continue on, Lord, continue on with what was started at the conference. I pray that you would put boldness in their hearts, God, and put a hunger in their hearts, a hunger for you, Father. And I pray that you would fill that, that only you would fill that, God, a hunger that can't be fed any other way than from you. Yeah, Holy Spirit, just come right now. I pray you'd fill up their hearts. Yeah, Lord, ruin them for anything else but you, anyone else but you, God. Yeah. So cell leaders and SOM guys, if you want to just surround these people and start praying for them, that'd be great. Guys, when I was talking about input, like the stuff you're putting in your lives and stuff, I feel like God wants to outline some stuff to you tonight. Stuff that, you know, music you've been listening to, or TV shows you've been watching, books you've been reading, you know, things that you've been looking at, that God wants those things out of your life because they're keeping you from him. So if I don't know, if you felt like that while I was speaking, while we were praying, I'm just going to pray right now that the Holy Spirit would outline those things to you. Because God doesn't like things that hold us back from him. God wants us to be able to just come to him easily. So Holy Spirit, I pray right now you'd stir in hearts all over this place. I pray that you would outline to us anything that's holding us back from you, God. Things that we're listening to or that we're looking at, things we're watching. Anything that's holding us back from you, God. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would bring up specifics. Names of artists. Names of movies. Titles of books, anything that we've been looking at or we've been putting in, Lord, that's holding us back from you or confusing us or just clouding things. I pray that you would be specific about that and you'd bring them to our attention, Lord.
I'm sorry for putting in stuff into my mind and my heart that's keeping me from you. I don't want to put this stuff in anymore. Father, tonight I release over to you. And now just, you know, quietly under your breath, say the thing that the thing that's been holding you back. I recognize that this isn't helping me, and I want to lay it down tonight. Now, Holy Spirit, just come. I pray you fill our hearts, Lord. And Lord, for everybody who's like laid something down tonight, I pray that you would bring them replacement stuff this week. Father, stuff that's better than what they laid down. Something that's more exciting, sounds better, looks better, overall feels better because it's connecting them with you rather than taking them away from you, Lord. Thank you so much, God.